You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a great night. It's going to get cold. It's going to rain today, so be careful if you're in the car. If you're watching on Yes, don't worry about it.
Is it raining now?
We don't have windows here. I don't know if you've noticed.
Don was just outside.
I was just outside. No, it's chilly, but it's not raining.
I'd like to deliver another message to those who watch on Yes.
Okay.
Can you listen on the radio?
Yeah, watch the pictures flicker across the screen, but listen to the radio.
We run into
especially if you have a meter.
Yeah, we love people who listen to this, who watch the show,
because our ratings on Yes are unbelievable,
and we love that. It's really nice. However, sometimes it feels like doing a radio show, we get too many people who say, "I watch you every day." Give us some listens in there, too.
Yeah, we need that. I did get a reply from somebody at Major League Baseball why the rules are not instituted in the WBC. And you know what? It makes sense. You ready? No other country uses these rules, so it would be impractical logistically with games being played in countries around the world like Taiwan and Japan, etc. Also wouldn't be fair to players in other countries, and it wouldn't get buy-in from the other international federations. So although it's a Major League Baseball initiative, international federations have to sign off on it.
That's the answer.
That makes
sense. I get it. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Also, please, can people spare me that, like, you know, you're somehow in any way, it's like not being culturally understanding or something. The WBC guys cannot be pretend. We cannot pretend that it's the World Cup in soccer.
Or the Olympics.
It's not. It has no history. Now, you acknowledge that it's possible certain people from certain countries could care about it more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But you can't make up a history that predates 2006.
Right. All
it goes back 15 years.
Fighting for your country. First, I've never been a firm believer in the Olympics. I don't think that who wins in the Olympics makes you a better country. I just don't believe
that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've never understood that. I've never understood that jingoistic thinking. And, you know, people wrap themselves around the flag, but the bottom line is a lot, not all of them, especially from the sports that don't have a lot of income that they make, but Michael Jordan made sure to wrap an American flag around his uniform so that you can see the Reebok sign. So that tells you all you need to know about the Olympics.
I do think some of your WBC opinion stems from that.
Maybe.
Or being overall against.
Just overall kind of against the whole patriotism thing, because you know.
Tied up in sports.
It really comes down to is money.
Right.
But
I don't think this comes down to money, though. WBC's not about money. I don't think they make money.
Well, not to the players, but the Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball will sell a lot of, you know, jerseys. Believe me, the last World Baseball Classic, I remember. Ray Santiago is half Dominican, half Puerto Rican, and he like bought both hats. Like you'll see, Peter, during the WBC, you'll see a lot of Mexico jerseys, Dominican jerseys. They sell all that. Major League Baseball is making money from this.
But isn't it more just because he was excited to get new hats for the places that he represents? Was it really about the tournament itself?
No, but this is what Major League Baseball is going after, and everybody's looking to make money. But what they're ultimately doing is the great thing about baseball. Is that the countries that participate have players. And the great thing about America is there are people that are American, but they're also part Dominican, part Puerto Rican, or Japanese. And they'll start rooting for their teams. Remember, Alex wanted to play for the Dominican, right? At the WBC.
Yep.
So there's that part of it, too. So you can get excited about how often do you, as a Puerto Rican or a Mexican American or Japanese, that you'll get a chance to root for your country internationally for baseball. You can do it for soccer. You can do it for basketball. But can you do it for baseball? It's kind of a unique, cool thing. And it's even cooler if you're getting actual Major League Baseball players to play. Nobody would care if it was just a bunch of minor leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's something that's kind of cool. Now, will it ever become the World Cup, Peter? Probably not. But was the World Cup big when it first started? And was the Olympics big when it first started in the 1800s?
Fair enough.
You know, maybe we'll fast forward 50 years from now and this will become a tradition like no other.
Now, I haven't told everybody this, but I am going to, for the first time, appear on First Take next week on March 7th.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh.
Why'd you not tell anyone then?
I thought I told you guys. I thought telling the listening audience. And I think I'm gonna get really destroyed. I'm gonna bring this take up to talk about that. I don't think you really care that much about your team winning a World Series if you go on to play in the WBC.
That's too. But listen, it's great. It's strong.
Yeah. What did you say, Anthony? I missed you.
Yeah, I think you told us. Peter missed.
Yeah, Peter really? Probably wasn't here yet. I told you, right?
Yeah,
I told Don.
I'm hurt. Who are you on with?
Stephen A. Smith. It's his show.
Well, he's not always. Look, come on, let's. He's not always there.
He's not
there.
Filling in for Stephen.
I'm not
A. Steve. Smith.
I'm just a guest.
Oh, you're a guest.
Yeah. Well, you think you're going to be host First Take?
Or Charger now. Or you're Ram.
Raven.
It's just you, Molly, and Stephen.
I'm not quite sure. They do have each show.
Because right.
I mean, can I really carry 2 hours on TV? I don't know. To look at me.
It's a lot.
I've got the suit picked out though.
You do
look great. Yeah.
I can't wait for it. What day is this?
March 2nd. Tuesday.
March.
I think it's a Thursday, right?
It's a Thursday. 2nd. Yes.
Hmm.
Will you watch, Don, or you don't care?
Because no,
I know
you.
That's right in the middle of Quincy.
Yeah. But I've been DVRing the Quincy's.
Really?
It's such a good show. You don't know what you're missing. You really don't.
I watched it when it first came out. I don't need to see
but
it
you
now.
But you don't...
I'm looking at Jack Burton,
and he's dead. I'm not going to go there fully.
Right.
But it is amazing to me. That show ran from 76 to 83.
Mm-hmm.
How... they could use the exact same show and it'd be relevant right now with the topics and how we haven't moved an inch in 40 years.
As a country.
Interesting. The fact that it's... Now, not everything, but there was one particular show. I'm not even going to tell you because I don't want to get into a debate about it. That they could have aired it on This Is Us last year and, Peter, you wouldn't have blinked.
Interesting.
That's how topical it was.
Now, I have a topical baseball point.
Okay.
Frankie Montas had exploratory shoulder surgery
today. Yeah, some
good
news.
Really? Can't pick up a baseball for 12 weeks? That's not good news.
But there's a chance. There's a better chance now he'll come back sooner than be done for the year. You've got to find a silver lining.
But you know me. I'm not a silver lining guy. Do you believe in your heart of hearts with that beautiful mane of gray silver hair that Frankie Montas will throw a pitch in the big leagues this year?
I think he will.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't think he will.
It might be during... Well, they don't do September call-ups really anymore,
well,
right?
They do. It goes to 28.
Right. Yeah, it's just not the extent
that
it was.
Yeah, it's not to
40. I think he will. Now, I'm not saying it'll be a meaningful game. It might be at the end of the season. He will pitch this year. But I don't think he'll have an effect on this season.
Well, he certainly has incentive to pitch this year because he's a free agent at the end of the year. He wants to show everybody that he's healthy. I don't know if the Yankees have an incentive to have him pitch. But shoulder surgery is nothing to sneeze at. I always say Tommy John surgery, it's a serious rehab, but almost everybody comes back from it. Shoulder surgery, it's an inexact science. It just is. Inexact science. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Ant.
Hey, guys. Huge fan. Just want to shout out my brother Thomas in Mattawan, New Jersey.
There you go.
What's up, Thomas?
Do it.
I got two quick questions for the pitch clock.
Mm-hmm.
Does the ball have to be thrown by 15 seconds, or does the pitcher's motion start by 15?
The pitcher's motion has to start. So it has to be, like, initiated, like the leg has to come up, but the ball doesn't have to leave his hand after 15 seconds, just as long as they're going into the motion, the pitch. And if they're in the stretch, if they just start to lift the leg a little bit, they're going to be calling a lot of balks, too, because they want pitchers to come to a full stop. But it's not when the ball is released. It's when they go into their motion.
Because my next thing was that if he was in his motion, would they call it dead? Because that would cause a lot of injuries.
Yeah,
Right. No, that's not that will not be the case. Good question.
Yeah, and that would be bogus if they did that, Michael. Because what were we talking for? Like a half a second from throw.
They want you. It would be bogus, but they are going to call everything to the letter. So you know how Kenley Jansen, when he comes into a set and then kind of rocks his leg a little bit. every single time it will be called a balk this year. He's got to change his motion.
Oh, Cueto did that too. Cueto a lot
also,
of times, yeah.
Quick pitches are going to be tough to do. They want you to come to a discernible stop because if you don't, then you're trying to deceive the runner, and that will also lead to more stolen bases.
I can't think of his name. He was a Marlin,
Charger now,
but I don't know. But I don't know if he's still a Marlin. But do you remember the Marlin pitcher?
Yeah, kind of skips.
He skipped.
Yeah, I forget the name. You can't do that.
Can't do that.
No. Because
that's all he did. He didn't do it for trickery. I think it was just some kind of a mental thing.
He was a hard thrower.
Yeah. But, God, that could ruin his career.
Yeah,
that.
You can't do it.
Cueto was just – he was messing. Like, Peter, what Cueto would do is he would kick his leg up, and it would stay there, and he'd, like, shimmy. Like, and then throw the ball. Like, he would do all these wacky things.
You can do that. Like, what Nestor Cortez does, where he starts and he, like, hangs his leg up in the air, that's allowed. But you cannot, like, move your foot once you come to a set. A lot of people, like, have that tapping motion. Can't do that.
But you can shimmy the way Cueto did?
Once you go into your motion, you can do whatever you want.
You can't, like,
Jansen, like, comes to a set, and the pitcher on the Astros who goes through, like, sets and then, like, goes back and forward. I think his name is Garcia. Can't do that.
Yeah, Anthony just reminded me. Carter Capps.
Very good, Anthony.
Other Anthony.
What?
Anthony Greek. Yeah, yes. So that means he had money on it at some point.
But
he knew. Wow. But he still knew. He knew. Why does it matter how he knew? He knew.
But he had big money on Carter Capps.
By the way, Greek told me something insane.
What did he say?
Greek said at his wedding. He said,
Greek has his own show, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
Greek said, at my wedding,
which I wasn't invited to,
I had a cousin on my dad's side sent me back plus one crossed off and wrote plus three written in for his kids.
Well, then you have to have security.
And I said, well, simple. That means my family's not coming to the wedding. Goodbye. Good night.
Lot of people write back, can I bring my kids? Which is outrageous.
But why do people say that?
Listen, the weddings are odd. That's why you should elope.
They are all
again,
odd.
I'm telling you, we got back an RSVP card with a dollop of marinara sauce on it.
At some point, you promise me that you'll
in my book.
You'll make it public.
You won't, in my book.
But you know who it is?
Yes.
He does.
Can we turn the mics off and have you tell me?
No. No. The cameras are on us. They can read lips.
But why is it so bad to say?
It would be an awful thing for this person.
Really?
Yeah.
But they did it.
He sent an RSVP. It's a he. Sent an RSVP card with a dollop, like he was eating a meatball sub.
A parm. Meatball parm.
Meatball parm.
Yeah.
And
sure.
The sauce dripped out and right on the RSVP card.
But the person said,
which was
no.
A nice stock. And he you can see he tried to wipe it off, but couldn't. But he wanted to send in the card. There was a dollop of marinara
sauce.
But
I don't think it's that bad. Did he also say no?
Yeah, he said no.
Well, that part's nice. Because that means
why was that nice?
Well, first of all, you want to save some names, right? You don't want everyone to say yes.
Almost everyone said yes to this wedding.
What percentage do you think?
95, 96.
Wow. What about you, Don?
It was definitely a very high percentile.
Really? Oh boy.
By the way, Nancy's not listening anymore. Jalen is in tears.
About what?
Jalen is disgusted.
What?
About the Mr. Orange thing?
Yeah.
She heard that?
Yeah, they were in the car. Why wouldn't she listen? I didn't even think
but
about
you
it
because
I thought
Daddy said that you wouldn't do it.
Right, but my daughter doesn't need to
but
hear.
But can you explain to her what the would you game is?
Can you explain to her what the would you game is? I'm sure she'll be over it by then. I thought they were still in Taekwondo class, so I kind of let it go.
Oh, no.
Have you heard from Mom?
No, she would just call because, again, she doesn't get the whole way things work. Wow. She would have called, so I guess she's not listening or watching.
Well, that's alarming.
I feel awful now.
Yeah, well, how do you think a 5-year-old
I didn't know they were listening.
Well, there's other 5-year-olds listening.
These days, I assume people aren't listening. So I didn't know she was listening.
Well, we are in a 12-plus world, so I guess it doesn't really matter what the 5-year-old thinks. But still, there's a lot of soccer moms out there.
Well, they understand the would you game.
I get, but. They're gonna have to explain to their 5-year-old like some of the would you stuff.
Yeah, that's like, why we're getting very cutting edge.
Yeah, but we were Mr. Orange specific, and I think that was the problem.
Gotcha, Anthony in Albany. Anthony.
Yeah, hey guys.
What's up, bud?
I'm listening to all this talk about baseball changes and things like that. I guess I'm a throwback. I just think. You know, there's a lot of color being taken out of the game. You don't see arguments anymore. You don't see life.
The one great thing about baseball is that it represented life. Well, there's no clock on it.
But that was what was great to you. All sports have evolved. Do you take a look at a basketball game from 50 years ago. It's another sport. Hockey, yeah, they added the trapezoid, got rid of the red line. You know, how football's evolved. They used to have the goalposts at the goal line. There used to be a time where they didn't have face masks. Deacon Jones used to clothesline guys. Every sport evolves. It's time for baseball to do the same thing.
Listen, I understand your concerns, Anthony, and I don't mean this to sound callous.
Oh boy.
But they don't care about us. They're trying to get a newer generation. You're going to still watch baseball. It won't be a terrible. It'll just be a. Do you know that in the 1960s, Anthony, we talk about 1950s and 60s. This is something I learned today in the Zoom seminar we had. Games took 2 hours and 31 minutes, and they have gone up and up and up and up, and they're trying to get it back to what it was. This is going to be closer to the game that you used to watch, where people didn't step out, pitchers got the ball and threw it. This is closer to the game that you know. They used to steal bases back in the 50s and 60s. They don't do that anymore. They will now. So it doesn't matter how they're doing it. There's going to be more action on the bases. There's going to be fielders where they're supposed to stand. Don't think about this is changing. They're changing back to what you loved about baseball.
And also, we didn't do a talk show 1973 when they instituted the DH. I'm sure it would have been a major topic of conversation. They're ruining the game. And you live with it. You adjust it. Remember the hours, Michael, we talked about. People weren't going to go to baseball games anymore because there was going to be a protective netting and they wouldn't be able to see the game because the netting would be in the way. Now you don't even notice that it's there. Eventually, if the clock's used right, you won't even notice. The game will be sped up.
And also, remember when Bob Gibson had that unbelievable year where the ERA was 1.17? Yeah. They lowered the mound. A ground rule double used to be considered a home run.
Right.
Things have changed. There was no DH before 1973.
Remember,
there were no black players before 1947.
How about AstroTurf?
So it doesn't stay the same.
AstroTurf and domes and lights. Remember, they used to play just day games. And
remember how the world was going to end, Don, because they put lights in Wrigley Field? It didn't.
No, it didn't.
World didn't end.
Listen, I understand it's jarring, and I can understand you maybe being a little dubious about it. Watch. It'll melt away like everything else. If you love the sport, you'll adjust. Every other sport has completely changed. Heck, football 30 years ago, it looks completely different than it does now.
I will say, I mean, it's funny. The best rule change to me is the one that's going to feel the most significant, and that is the clock.
Yeah.
That is going to be something you notice. I don't think we can say as simple as you'll barely notice it. It'll fade right into the wall. I think it's going to be a real thing you notice, but I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be great. And again, to Anthony and all the others that are resistant to change, it's bringing baseball back to what it was. That's exactly what's happening. They didn't take a minute between pitches in the past. They just didn't do that. Games didn't take 3 hours and 7 minutes. That was the average last year. It took 2:30. There's going to be more action. Hey. There's going to be more balls put in play. Really, this is going to be a better brand of baseball.
But you know what really should disturb you if you're an old school fan? That this is where we've gotten to with the sport because it's been damaged over time. But every sport's got to go through it. You just have to. And you know what? Baseball's getting out in front of it. They're not waiting for a whole work stoppage or for the ratings completely to go to zero. They're getting out. They're probably 10 years ahead of the curve for when it would be a disaster. And give them credit for that. How often can we say that?
You know what I find also very interesting, Don? Jalen had a hard time with the would you game. I didn't hear anything about Marco. It doesn't seem like that would bother him.
He's not paying attention. He was paying attention.
Well, he might have been napping.
Okay.
Because he's got this thing now where he's getting up ridiculously early in the morning, and then he pays for it later in the day.
Interesting.
So he falls asleep. He's like me. As soon as you get in the car, when I get like the car services,
when you drive, right?
Well, no.
Yeah, please. That'll be worrisome.
I don't know what it is. Can't sleep on a plane. Can't sleep on a bus. But you put me in like for car service, out cold.
I think Sam Rosen keeps you up on the plane.
Is that true?
Yeah.
No, Sam. You know what's interesting about Sam? Always doing work.
Really?
You're always working on the next game. Always going taking notes.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. See? That's how you always do it.
Maybe if you did that, you'd end up in the Hall of Fame in Toronto.
If you're a pro, that's what the pros do. The pros have the notebook out.
Right.
They're immediately getting after
it. Right. I get after it on the plane.
Copious.
Get after
what
it.
Kind of notes are you taking on
the
plane?
Oh, copious.
Like you're watching highlights?
No, I don't watch highlights.
So what are you writing down there in your notebook?
Well, the next series, things that I should look at, trends, stuff like that.
Trends.
Storylines.
Storylines.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? You're reading articles then, you're saying?
A lot of stuff. All the info I could get my hands
on. So they're playing
on
the Blue Jays. You're reading the Toronto Sun the last few weeks seeing what's going on.
That's just surface stuff. I go beyond that.
You're going into the Athletic and the
everything.
Right, you got
everything that's ever been written about that player.
Wow.
Over his life.
Wow.
No stories. But now I don't need as many stories because we're shaving 35 minutes off the game.
That's right. So you don't have to make up God knows what.
Make up?
Well, you know what I mean.
Mark, Staten Island. Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing, Mark?
Good. Real quick, before I get to my Daniel Jones point, Derek Jeter was the ultimate, like, winning means everything, and he played in the World Baseball Classic all the time, so
all
I don't think
time.
That's really a mindset for players.
All the time?
Yeah, he played in 06. Yeah, he played 06, 09, the two times he was eligible, really, for it. He was hurt in 12.
I guess I don't really have a great answer for that, other than I don't understand why people do it.
But,
he was the ultimate winner.
My Daniel Jones point, I think the Giants should offer him a contract where it's like a 4 years, $35 million a year like they want. But if he hits certain benchmarks like 4,000 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, and less than like, say, 13 interceptions, the rest of the contract kicks in at 43. So this way, if it's like you want $43 million, $45 million, go get it and become one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I don't
know how you could do it with this. The cap.
I'm not sure you can do that, number one. And number two, it's easily controlled by Dable that he doesn't get those incentives if they want to play hardball.
I just don't know. I don't know how you'd make it work with the cap, Michael.
Well, I guess it would be applied to the next year's cap.
No, they're not going to do that. I mean, five years, 190 just seems so fair.
Yeah, it does. Anthony Senior, Anthony Pusick's dad.
Oh yeah, the big
says very advertising is longer now, and I actually have a perfect solution to that. Because advertising the commercial length. So I think the commercial length now is 2:30
right.
For a non-national
right.
game. 2:30. Because everybody has big screen TVs now. Mm-hmm. And you see it all the time on soccer. That last commercial that you play, right, that starts at two minutes in, you just put the play in one box and you put the commercial in the other. The announcers don't talk on the play. But you can see exactly what's happening.
That's a huge thing in wrestling now.
Yeah.
And WWE does it all the time.
I saw that the
other
day.
And they do it in NASCAR. They did it during the Daytona 500.
Why not do that? This way you shave time off, and you shave time off the length of the game.
And you could do this, too. They did this in the Daytona 500, where they'll just have this segment sponsored by Toyota. They put a big Toyota logo up there, and that 30 seconds to a minute of what they're doing, all sponsored by Toyota. There's a lot of different ways to sell without expanding the game.
Absolutely. I definitely see it. It makes sense to me.
And you know what's also going to happen? Because you see it in hockey, too. The dasher boards, do you see how they localize it? Like only on TV
yeah.
you see the commercial.
Yep.
You don't see it at the arena. They could start doing that in baseball, too. They already do it behind home plate a lot of times.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Islanders and the Jets, 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame right here on 98.7. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Another big game for the Isles.
Yeah.
Looks like they're moving Martin into Barzal's spot, right?
Yeah, just to try, which kind of breaks up the fourth line, but they've got to do something. They're catching Winnipeg at the end of a road trip. Rangers lost to the Winnipeg Jets, Michael. We didn't talk about it on Monday. 4-1. They outshot Winnipeg 51-21.
And Shesterkin's not playing well.
He's just not playing the way he played last year. He's still very good.
And then blew off the media.
Which I don't like. But he did speak today. But I don't like that because then everybody else has to answer questions for you. It's not right.
Well, that's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during the big games this season.
Sure.
Enjoy a Tullamore Dew, Don, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please, please, please enjoy responsibly. Let's go to Dominic in Westchester. Dominic?
Hey.
Hey.
Guys, long-time listener, love watching you guys.
Thank you.
My quick thing, and then I'll let you go. The clock, I feel, is going to, like, mess up the batter just as well.
Yep, it will.
You know, and standing in the box. And if you're looking to speed up the game, why not, how do you call it? When they call for the intentional walk or whatever.
Right.
Why not just, like, throw your hand up once and then the batter goes instead of pitching.
But they do that.
They've been doing that for, like, four or five years.
They do that. They don't have to throw four pitches anymore.
They don't have to throw any.
Yeah.
Thanks for trying.
Let's go to Matthew in Brooklyn.
It's unfortunate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. You?
I've been better.
I'm all right. I'm just a little confused about this Daniel Jones thing. If you look at the quarterbacks for 2023 that had the top cap hits, okay, where are those teams? Terrible, correct?
Well, the high, other than Rodgers, Mahomes makes the most money. They won the Super Bowl.
You got guys like Wentz, Ryan in there. You got Ryan Tannehill. You got basically bums because not bums, but their teams are not good because they're getting paid so much.
Yeah,
these quarterbacks have to say to themselves, if I want to win or be a contender, I can't say I'm the next guy up. I want this much money.
But Matthew, isn't that a delicate balance? I mean, you only have one career, and you want to make the most money you can.
Then the team's got to make the decisions. Is this guy? If I give this guy $45 million, can he carry us to a world Super Bowl?
But see, it takes a great team. It takes a great front office, Matthew. So they gave Patrick Mahomes about $500 million in this contract. Yeah. And because he was getting paid all that money, they could not keep Tyreek Hill. So you know what? They traded him, and they got a Juju Smith-Schuster, Valdez-Scantling. Good teams do good things. And every quarterback's going to get paid. Not every team's going to win. So there are going to be some albatross contracts.
You'll be surprised how the cap casualties usually don't hurt the teams that cut the player because they know what they're doing.
Right.
And if the teams know what they're doing, the cap seems to be hurt them less than the teams who don't know what they're doing and they're in cap hell.
And it does seem that the teams who are less sentimental are usually the better teams.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are willing to pull the trigger when it's time.
And that's why I think the Giants are in better shape now with the Saquon situation, with this regime, than the previous one.
But it's, what I don't get is they're still in a tough cap situation. And if they have to franchise Daniel, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I mean, it seems like an overriding commitment to bring back Barkley. I love Saquon Barkley. He's everything that you want in a player, the way he conducts himself, the way he represents the organization. But you can get a running back without paying him $15 million a year.
And I think they know that, but I think they're playing the PR game of saying all the right things. But when it really comes time, Michael, I believe that Shane will do the right thing for what's good for the Giants, not for Saquon and the fans who bought a 26 jersey. I don't know if Gettleman would have done that. Gettleman would have been attached, making him the second overall pick, maybe overpay to keep him. I don't think the Giants are going to do that. They're not going to play sentimental the way the previous regime did with Eli. I think it's going to be cut and dried. They're going to do what's best for the team. But right now, they can't do anything until they figure out Jones. And that's why Jones is the priority.
Let's go to Josh in Patterson. Josh. Josh.
Sure.
Yeah, how you doing? Josh McGuinness from Paterson, New Jersey. How you doing, fellas?
There, how are you?
All right.
I'm all right. Don, Peter. Mike, man, it's good to talk to you guys, man. I just wanted to touch base about Justin Fields. I feel like he's getting a bad rap with everybody talking about he should be. They should trade him and go get the number one. I got another suggestion, and you guys got a minute?
Okay.
Cool. So, with the suggestion I have is if I'm the Bears, I will call Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, they just lost Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask them, can we swap first picks? Tampa Bay got the 19th pick. I'll ask them, can we swap that? And can I get Chris Evans can I get Mike Evans or Chris Godwin and also another another first-round pick and a second-round pick? That helps out Justin Fields with getting a number one receiver, and that also helps out the Bucks with, I would say, keeping the aura of the quarterback because they had Tom Brady there, and we got two good quarterbacks, probably a little bit more. But we have at least two good quarterbacks that's coming out in college this year.
I like the way you're thinking. I'm not sure that's enough for that number one pick. They might be looking at a Herschel Walker sort of haul. I mean, that's the number one pick. You're going to get the quarterback that you want. I don't know if that gets it done.
Yeah, that's lofty.
I think he's looking at it the wrong way in the sense that I don't think Chicago necessarily has a problem with Fields. It's that they just think they can do better with a top pick.
Which puts them in a different situation. They're not in like a desperate spot. It's just, can they get a definitive stud? I don't think they're out on Fields.
No, I think they've got a tough decision. Right? They've got to really scout these quarterbacks, see if they think they could be better than Fields. And again, you're restarting the clock. And, you know, you got a coach that did terrible last year in his first year, Matt Eberflus. So does he want his own quarterback? Justin Fields was there before he got there.
I don't know why.
Who's the consensus number one? Is the kid out of USC?
It's Young. Right, Anthony?
Bryce Young,
right?
Yeah.
So if they like Bryce Young, let's say they think Bryce Young could be better than Fields, then you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, but you get if you think it's close, you get way more for that first pick than you get for Justin Fields.
Right.
You get way more for that first.
It all because of what could be. It's all about what the ceiling is. People believe they don't know the ceiling for Bryce Young. They know the ceiling for Fields. But I don't think we do.
I don't know. I don't think we know the ceiling for Fields.
I liked him. I don't know what it was. I liked him, though.
I like him, too. Not a ton of weapons there. There were some injuries, but I'd like to see a little bit more. But they know him better than we do.
Let's go to Brian in Stamford. What's up, Bry?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
Love the show.
Thank you.
I just had a quick point about everybody trying to shorten baseball games, and Michael, you keep saying games shouldn't be 3 hours long. How come nobody says anything about a NFL game that is actually clocked at 1 hour, taking 3.5 hours on a Sunday?
It's once a week.
Yeah, well, but still.
Once a week.
But also, Brian, first of all, I don't mind the length of games. I think that's always misinterpreted with me. I just think there has to be more stuff happening. There has to be a better pace.
No, but they care about
it. I don't know if you heard, but earlier, that a ball is put, last year average, a ball put in play in each game, it was every 4 minutes. That's not enough action to keep young people's attention. And also, most of the games in the NFL start at 1 or 4. Most of the games in baseball start at night.
Yeah,
so the longer a game is, you're gonna turn people off about getting home late, not going to work the next day.
They want better pace. But they also want these games to be shorter. Now, the NFL game sometimes spills past 3 hours. Rarely, but it does.
No,
but
sometimes 3.5.
But it's once a week.
Right.
But you're talking about a baseball team is going to play 6-7 times a week. Asking people to go to games, spend 4 hours at Yankee Stadium, do it again the next day or turn it on the next day. It's a lot.
I think it's a dirty little secret out there that really is not articulated that much. Football in person is extraordinarily boring.
Is that right?
Extraordinarily boring.
It's rough.
It is rough. Talk about like a ball being put in play every 4 minutes. What really happens in a football game?
Well, so no, it's not that the game isn't exciting. It's that the experience sucks the excitement out of the game.
Yeah, they know that too.
It's
a television sport.
You can have a great day. Like if you go to a really important game for your team and you go with fun people and you're able to tailgate and your seats are pretty good and the weather's not terrible. No. So you already have like five variables coming into it. And you're surrounded by people that you're not bored when it feels like they're in commercials every 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
Then it can be okay. But it's just not. Baseball, for example, I literally, and I'm sure this would be different if I was a huge fan of a team, but correct me if I'm wrong, even if you're a big Met fan or a big Yankee fan, there are 162 of them. You're not living and dying over regular season games. You're going to have a good time. You're sitting down, you're eating, you're chatting.
Well,
it's
there
a different
are some
experience.
Fans that live and die.
Well, you
the
know,
diehards.
There's a word. Right, called virgin. It's called virgins, losers, whatever you
oh,
whatever your preference.
It.
No, seriously.
I mean,
no,
if it's one of 162,
they're diehard fans and that care about every single game. Do you think they're all virgins?
Yes.
If you leave in a bad mood, if it's a beautiful Saturday and you go to Queens, 77 degrees.
Yep.
Mets have a random game against
Nationals.
That's even divisional.
Dodgers,
Padres.
Okay.
All right. And you lose 4-2, and you leave that game in a bad mood, you're a loser. Am I wrong?
No, you're a real fan. I couldn't disagree with you more.
I used to be that way when I was younger, but there's 162 of them. If you're going to live and die off of every single game.
Do you guys read Twitter after games?
No, listen, there's a lot of losers and virgins out there.
Especially on Twitter. Right? Don, you know why you're in a bad mood if you leave Citi Field on a beautiful day? You're in a bad mood if they ran out of nacho helmets. You're in a bad mood if the Shake Shack line was too long.
Listen, I'm disappointed. I might be mad depending on how they lost the game.
Sure.
But there's another game tomorrow. Football, there's only 17 of them. That loss can cost you the game. Now, if it's September, I was red hot when the Mets lost those games to the Braves at the end of the season.
Absolutely.
You know, but if you get a game in July, you can't win them all. I mean, think about it, Michael. If you're a 100-win team, you lose 62 times. If you're going to live and die 62 times, you're going to be in your grave by the time you're 30.
Yeah, it's just...
You got to relax a little bit.
And by the way, this all started in defense of baseball.
Yeah.
My point is, going to the game, if the experience of viewing it isn't perfect, it doesn't matter because you're having a good time. It's beautiful out. It's not the dead of winter. You're eating good food. You're drinking a beer with your buds. But football just is a different sort of thing.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Only three games tonight, but we're still going to do an ice pick. On 98.7 ESPN and is driven by Ramsey Mazda. So let's take advantage of the three games, guys, shall we? We've got the Islanders and the Jets. So I'd say bet the under. Let's go under 5.5. Let's go Flames money line at -225 over the Coyotes and Dallas -450 over the Blackhawks. Now, those don't sound like great long odds, right? But in a three-leg parlay, it's a +223. So let's go Islanders, Jets, under 5.5. Flames and the Dallas Stars on the money line as my three-leg parlay ice pick, which is driven by Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. I've been told that I've won three in a row, and I think I'm like 7-2 or something since January 18th.
You've been red hot.
Including three-leg parlays.
Now, on Monday, we spoke about how bad the All-Star game was in the NBA. And it wasn't us alone. I don't think that we were being the old men on the lawn. I love basketball. Love it. I watch a basketball game almost every night when I go home. Now, there's not one until Friday, but that game was unwatchable. It wasn't basketball. It was akin to a layup line, which was what Michael Malone said, one of the coaches of the teams. And the people have spoken. The only thing that really speaks is the people. And the ratings on this game on Sunday, Don, it was down 28%.
Yeah, that's a higher 29%.
I mean, that's outrageous. So at some point, the NBA has to do something. Now, I know it's all about the weekend and, you know, the Saturday events. They did pretty well. Not that much fewer audience than the actual All-Star game.
No, it was like 4-3 yeah. something, right?
So the NBA has to do something because it cannot continue like that. That's not basketball. That's not highlighting basketball.
The thing that's got to disturb them is basically flag football beat them.
Yeah.
You know, the Pro Bowl won. So they got to do something. And I think the best thing they can do is just go back to East-West, forget the draft and all that garbage, because I think there'll be at least a rooting interest. Knicks fans will root for the East. Net fans will root for the East. Laker fans will root for the West. You'll know who's on every team. You can have a great skills competition and then just have the traditional game. What would be so wrong with that? And then, as you said earlier, you know what? Each player on the winning team gets $1 million.
Right, and you can say, well, that's a lot. No, it's not a lot.
Was it 12
million,
NBA,
$13
million?
$12 million. What does that mean?
It's not a big deal for them. If they're going to get these kind of ratings, it's gonna affect the next television contract, which is
coming up.
You know, why do I want to have that? That used to be something that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be on national television. Then I remember when it went to TNT, people were like, oh, my God, it's on cable. What's going on there? But that's happened with a lot of sports. But you want that product to have a certain cachet. You don't want to go into the new television contract with your All-Star game being like off 30% from the previous year. So I would scrap it, guys. Just go back to East-West and have a monetary gain for the winner so that's not a layup line.
I mean, certainly the first step you take is going back to East-West.
Yeah.
Like, this thing's just not that cool.
Like, right, you don't know who to root for. If you're a fan of the Knicks, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for LeBron's team because Julius Randle's on it? And there's a lot of East players on the other team. The rooting interests are skewed. You're almost driving into the narrative that the NBA markets individuals, not teams, because you're going to root for an individual. That's what you're doing.
That it actually does play into that, and they're leaning into it, and it's not working.
No,
I understand why they thought it would, and I also, let's just be real too. Oh my God, what a bad decision it was to just put them on the court with a live mic. I'm sorry, these guys are not improvisers. Okay. They're pro athletes. If you're going to do this thing, you got to do it on TNT with the rest of the TNT people there to laugh and make jokes.
Right.
They're just putting a mic in LeBron and Giannis's hand and saying, go be funny. Like, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, and it was unintentional comedy with Giannis, but the bottom line is that didn't work. It was stilted. It was labored. It wasn't good. So that was bad television in itself. And then it's right before the game begins. So NBA, there's nothing wrong with NBA basketball, everybody, but there was something wrong with that game. That's not NBA basketball. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I love basketball so much. This is so far from we talk about the rule changes that baseball's making. All they do is shoot 3-point shots anymore. There's no mid-range shots. You get pulled and brought to the bench if you hit a mid-range shot. Why would you take that shot? Why don't you step back 2 feet and get another point for it? The game is completely different than it used to be. Completely. It's all on the perimeter. So either you move the 3-point shot out even farther. I'm not saying they're going to get rid of it because that seems like something that they like, but it's ruined the game. It's ruined the game. It's not basketball anymore.
Well, we're back at it tonight. Today's Wednesday, right? We're back
tomorrow.
At it tomorrow.
Knicks are on Friday.
Tomorrow night on TNT, you'll get the early vehicle. What is the early vehicle? The late vehicle is Golden State Los Angeles. So we'll find out whether this LeBron James-led Laker team is actually going to treat this second half of the season as critically as he says they will. And the Grizzlies-Sixers is the 7:30 game. Knicks play Friday.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to James in Saddlebrook. James.
Hey, Michael K. I love the show.
Thanks.
I was calling to pitch my idea about the World Baseball
Classic. Let's hear it.
All right. I love soccer. Sorry, people, don't turn off your radio or your TV. But I'm not going to talk about soccer, but soccer has great tournaments. So I'm going to explain this is how baseball should do it. So you start spring training 2 weeks early, then you start opening day 2 weeks early. So sometime at the end of June or the beginning of July, you stop the season, you have the World Baseball Classic, and then with the final, you set it up so the final's on Sunday night baseball, and then the night before, you do like a home run derby. And
aren't you kind of usurping then, the All-Star game, though?
Yeah, you take away the All-Star game for that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you give the players, like, 4 days off, and then you restart the season.
Well, it's not awful, but, James, the thing that worries me, and I know it works in soccer, is you're gambling on an injury that's going to affect the team for the rest of the year.
And I hate stopping the season. I'm sorry. Now, the NHL does it because they were looking for a pop, but they're playing the Olympics. It's the most viewed television event ever. The World Baseball Classic is never going to be that important, Michael, where you're going to stop playing regular season games. People will go nuts.
Yeah, again, I think the idea is intriguing and good, and you know the finals are great, especially 50,000 fans going nuts. But the execution of it to me doesn't work. The time doesn't work, and the guy trumped me the other phone call. You know, Derek Jeter did it. I still think that if you are all locked in on that season and you're not a veteran, you got to pay attention to the season. Obviously, Jeter did it in 2009, went on to win a World Series. And I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on him from baseball to actually play because he's Derek Jeter. But I'm sure there was pressure on Judge to play, and he said no.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.